This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good evening, saints of God. Can you hear me? I hope you can, because I can't hear you. I can't see you. But I know you can see me, and that's all right with me. Sermon series tonight. Christ at the center of the family. I gotta tell you, I love the title of this series because without Christ at the center, we'll just have chaos. So I'm grateful for Christ to be at the center. And he needs that to be at the center of everything. So again, I want to say to you, good evening, saints of God. I am so happy to be able to be before you tonight. I am so very thankful for the privilege extended to me by your pastor, my colleague, Dr. Sala Jen, to be able to share with you through scripture and from personal testimony the joy, the blessing, and eternal reward of motherhood that is made possible only through the power of God. And so without any further ado, we will move on to the text. My text tonight comes from Proverbs 31. I believe that this is a very well-known and familiar passage. I will read in your hearing, starting with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous mother? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She does good to her family and not evil all the days of her life. She labors diligently and willingly with her hands. She rises also while it is yet night, and provides food for her entire household. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Now today we know mothers may not work in the field, but they work in offices, in the schools, and the hospitals, etc. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. Her candle goes not out by night. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. You wouldn't think she had time for all of that. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Many mothers have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a mother who fears, loves, and obeys the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, this is your moment. I pray that you may have your way, that you would let me be just this vessel of honor in your hands, that your will may be done. I thank you so much for hearing and answering, because I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends of God, tonight was meant to be, because the enemy had been working with the technical issues from my end and from your end. But the Lord prevailed tonight. We're going to hear a word from him, and I'm thankful. You see, the concept of a family is not and was never man's idea, but God is who established the family model back in Eden when he created the first royal pair. They were good and perfect, Adam and Eve. And he gave them dominion over his created works. Genesis 1:27-29. God provides the guidance and divine counsels filled with his laws, principles, statutes, and judgment for the building of the individual life, families, kingdoms, nations, economics, according to the heavenly law and order, so that his will may be done in earth as in heaven. He also established kingdoms, nations, law and order, and love. He is responsible for everything that was ever made. He is the foundation of all. You must know that the family, as God designed it, is to be the cornerstone of the church, the wider society, and the government of the nation. But sadly, sin entered the world, and it changed everything. The only thing it didn't change is God, his love, his laws, and his plans of goodness and greatness for man, which is now to be realized only through Christ, the only way of escape. Sin brought conflict, disunity, and disrespect to physical and spiritual laws of health. There is not one family that hasn't been affected by it. So I began in summary with this story as a testimony of God's faithfulness and strength in my early days of motherhood. 20 years ago, one of the most unforgettable journeys of my life began. It is so riveted in my memory as if it was yesterday. Brethren, friends of God, mothers, parents, this was a momentous time of my life. Like Abraham, called to leave the beautiful and prosperous city of Ur in Babylon with his family, so too, as to fulfill the call of God to a land he knew nothing about, but where God promised to bless him and to make him the seed, to make his seed to be a blessing to the whole world. I too faced then the call to depart from New York. Like Ur of Babylon, New York was and still is viewed as a great city, if not one of the greatest in the world. It's filled with every worldly delight. Anything you can imagine. You just go to New York, you'll find it. And that's why most people love New York. And they never want to leave New York. But I was called to come out of New York, a place where I dwelt for many years of my life. My church, my immediate and extended family, my job, my friends, and my coworkers, we were all there. Yet, I heard and heeded the call of God to leave and come to a place where Christian education and environment could be provided for my two boys, who happened to be 5 and 8 then. This call from God, I mulled over, considering the consequences and impact on the family. It did not go away for many years, however much I tried to ignore it. It stayed with me. It was historic. As my pastor often says, every test produces a testimony. Today, for the first time, I have labored to write to you that part of the journey of my life. I was hungering for what could not be provided by another human being. I was longing for peace of mind, a deeper connection with God, a loving relationship, all of which could not be experienced in the environment I was surrounded with. So after much consistent praying, fasting, weeping and agonizing before God, without consulting most members of my family, because they would deter me, I was experiencing something they would not understand. So empowered by God, I ventured to provide at all cost, to embark on a journey as the Lord led me to Berrien Springs, Michigan, to attend Andrews University. To many, it may have seemed high risk and potentially disruptive. And yet by faith, I knew it was the call of God. There are many details I could provide, but time will not permit. Not surprisingly, deep within, I knew that my faith would be tested significantly. However, deep down within this longing to just be with God and be in His will was growing stronger than anything I had ever experienced before. I distinctly remember arriving from New York with my wallet, which contained all my most important documents that I would need to start my life anew in this land God led me to. The wallet held all the documents that I needed to prove my identity and some money as well. Ever since I arrived in Berrien Springs, I have been using the same wallet. I remember vividly the second Friday afternoon that I was there as I did my last bit of shopping to prepare for the Sabbath. I went to the store one last time to get water and I paid for the water using the wallet. I put the wallet inside my bag and I drove home. There was my first great test. As I was getting clothes ready for church the same Friday, I reached in my bag for my wallet to see if I had change to put in the offering plate for myself and my children. There was no wallet to be found. My friends, mothers, you can imagine how frantically I turned the bag upside down, inside out, hoping to find my wallet. It held, besides my documents, the last set of money I earned and saved to finance the first leg of this journey of life. While praying to God, I, in desperation, ran back immediately to the last store I had been to see if I had left the wallet on the counter. The cashier said to me, I did not leave it behind. And besides, no one turned in a lost wallet. I proceeded to check inside the car. Sadly, I looked everywhere. It wasn't there. I carefully retraced my steps several times. And alas, disappointed, tired, and weary, I finally went to the police station. I went to campus safety and anywhere else I could go to report it. And so I did. You can imagine the rest is history. I never found the wallet. It never turned up. Up to this day. Even though I still happen to live in Michigan, no one called me to say that they had found a license or something with some identification to say that my wallet was found. This was a time of prayer and reflection. My first great big test. You can imagine. Initially, I thought this was a sign that maybe I should pack my bag and go back to New York where I came from. I must admit that at that moment, as you would also reconsider everything was running through my mind. Is this a rebuke from God? Surely, this must be a sign from God, especially with my two sons who are about 5 and 8 years old. The enemy was tormenting my mind with all kinds of negative feelings. I felt as if I was being laid waste without any close friends and family, as in New York, with the exception of this one friend from early college days, whose father was my pastor at some point in New York. She was there. But you know, friends, faith prevailed. I decided to trust God to take me on this ride as I realized he was teaching me to have complete dependence on him. I was hungry for a deep connection with him. Well, God is going to teach me now what that entails. I understood now that he wanted to start with me from scratch. Zero, completely dependent on him. So I decided to trust him. My growing faith was being put to a serious test. My journey of faith had really begun. But irrespective, I purposed in my heart not to turn back, confident that he will never leave me nor forsake me, and he will provide as he promised. I also realized that God did not need my help. By allowing the money to disappear, he wanted me to learn complete dependency on him and not to put my trust in the money, people, things, or self. After all, what is $2,000 to God? So when I tell you that he carried me with a mighty hand and outstretched arms, I know what I'm talking about. My children understood that in all we do, Jesus is at the center of it. So I continue to nurture my children. I had to nurture them mentally, spiritually, and physically. Time would not permit to detail the many battles of faith I was called to fight. Yet, I stand as a witness that by his power and his grace, hallelujah, that I was able to fight this good fight. And again, by his power and his grace, I will continue to fight until the coming of Christ, this good fight of faith. The journey as he knew it, was quite different from what I had envisioned. But it was far better than I could imagine. I was counting on the $2,000 I had in my wallet to take me through, but God had far greater plans. For what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. Undeniably, through it all, I have learned to trust Jesus completely. According to Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I discovered the power of trusting by clinging to his promises, as if my life depended on each one. I discovered a little green book called Promises for the Last Day. It's written by E.G. White. Yes, I said it. On page 62, it says, I know that it was not by chance, but God put this book in my hand for a reason. And one promise that I clung to at that time says this: doubts and fears grow by indulgence. And the more they are indulged, the harder they are to overcome. It is safe to let go every earthly support and take the hand of him who lifted up and saved the sinking disciple on the stormy sea. Can you not trust in your Heavenly Father? Can you not rest upon his gracious promise? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can we not rely upon this? Can we not have implicit trust, knowing that he is faithful, who hath promised? I entreat you to let your trembling faith again grasp the promises of God. Bear your whole weight upon them with unwavering faith, for they will not, they cannot fail. My friends, as I was reading this passage from the book, I just knew that that book was meant for me. I didn't know a little book like that existed before, with so many promises available. One, promises available for every situation in life. And I happened to find this little book, and it was addressing my situation, asking me if I cannot trust God, asking me to bear my whole weight upon the promises of God. I thought it was amazing. So mothers in the audience, whatever difficulty you may encounter, let faith prevail. Through Christ, I gain victory after victory for my children and myself. And as I use the time to train them for the kingdom and God's mission, he provided means for them to receive a Christian education, as they were surrounded by a strong Christian community, a community of faithful believers that provided a powerful influence in their young lives. They have since graduated from Andrews University and pursuing their successful careers. Today, they are making their own decisions in their own lives. And my prayer is that they would keep choosing Christ over the world, because he is the one who taught me how to raise them, disciple and nurture them in the fear of God. As a mother, I am now fully persuaded in my heart and mind, as you must know, that God designed the family to be the cornerstone of the church, the wider society, the government of the nation, with Jesus at the helm. The family, though, under attack and siege for approximately 6,000 years, still stands. And it only stands by the grace of and mercy of God. There is not one family that has not felt the darkness of sin. In Christ, all can be redeemed through repentance, love, and obedience. As a mother, I am aware of this fierce battle called the Great Controversy, which seeks to tear down everything God has established. Satan has been battling to destroy the home and to capture the hearts and minds of the children for his evil purposes. However, Paul said it best. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Invincible, unstoppable, and always triumphant. As a mother, I was called to teach my boys the purpose of nature, God's greatest lesson book, the beauty, the joy and power of godly relationships, the usefulness of establishing system, communities, and nations to the glory of God, without God at the center of everything, nothing would be able to stand. Anything that could be shaken would be shaken and shattered, but for the hope and promise of Christ. As a mother, I knew that my strength was my faith in God. Families may be under attack. As a mother, I want to urge you and encourage you to do the following: to build relationship with your children and establish a healthy, happy, and heavenly family for Christ. Build family altar for daily prayer and worship. Let home be a school where the children learn of God, His laws and His works. Develop through dialogue healthy, beautiful relationships that focus on respect, honesty, integrity, justice, and love. Teach the children the blessings and benefits of the spiritual and health laws of God. In more ways than one, we are told that our greatest wealth is our health. Listen, learn from the children, and point them to Christ, who knows and owns and creates all. Let humility fill the home, and let it be a place where heavenly agencies choose to dwell. Teach and train the children how to keep a well-ordered home. From the womb to the tomb, they'll always be our children. Enjoy rest, relaxation, recreation, and show them how important it is. If I were to ask how many mothers have been in unbelievable situations where only God makes sense, I know all of you would have a testimony. Do not follow vanity, but follow the will of God. Remember, little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hands. As mothers, we need to come together and pray together, but not prey on each other. Surround our children with the right influence. We need each other, not for gossip, nor for vanity, nor idle curiosity. Parents, mothers, don't give up. Wherever you are, let go of everything, but never let go of God. As I told you earlier, my strength was my faith in God to take me through that period when all the money was taken and I had not a cent in my wallet, because there was no wallet. But God was there. So mothers, remember, your labor is not in vain. We will continue to be tested, but graduation is coming, and we will see God's face. Let's join the multitude that will stand on the sea of glass. Let us as mothers rise to the occasion and do what Christ will have us to do. All your labors will be rewarded. So don't give up, mothers. Let's build each other up. So for me, I choose to focus on what matters the most, like redemption, reconciliation, rather than remorse. Remember, mothers, parents, the greatest mission field, the highest calling, the greatest pulpit is in the home. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank Chaplain Chantel for her powerful message that she shared. I was just so blessed by the personal testimony that she shared of her own life leaving New York, and the powerful word that she said. I don't know if I could say that. It's that she said, What is $2,000 to God? My goodness. Sure. My. What a powerful testimony. Thank you, Chaplain Chantel, for your words. We are here now. We're going to be taking your questions. So if you have a question that you would like to share, we've already received some. But if you didn't know, we'd love to be able to receive your questions. Text your questions to 954-388-8780. I want to shout out a few people who are who've joined us. I want to shout out Elma, Angela, Dorma, Cecile, Maurice, Kevin, Faith, who's joining us for the first time tonight, and also Carol. I want to highlight those who are watching, but I also want to highlight those who are here on our panel with me today. We have Deborah, who is here. We have Dion. We have Pastor Joe. And we also have live by remote, Chaplain Chantel as well. So we're going to take a few questions at this time during our discussion. The first question that we have is, I am a mother, a married mother, but my marriage is miserable. The constant abuse I'm experiencing is simply unbearable, so I'm thinking about divorce. What should I do? I throw it out to the panel. It's a heavy one for our first one, but I take them in the order I receive them. So, thoughts. We have a person out there who's hurting right now. What advice can we give them in this moment?
I want to say firstly, I feel for you. My heart is for you. Marriage is supposed to be so beautiful, but we know that it can be a challenge at times. And for you to get to that place where you have children and you're thinking about divorce, I don't think it was an easy decision for you to get there. But I just want to let you know that by you just saying it and releasing that, we can come alongside you and pray with you. And I'm not sure if you have sought therapy in this journey, but I would advise that you speak to your pastor, speak to a Christian counselor, and you know, nothing beats prayer. Nothing beats prayer. So it's hard. So we don't know, I don't know if it is, there's abuse, there's infidelity, there's just so many things right now, but I would just maybe ask you to kind of talk to your pastor, seek some counseling, and I will be praying for you, mother, because I can, you know, I truly, truly feel like as woman that it's not easy because women love, you know, we want our family, you know, we want that little garden. So when you get to that place, it's kind of hard. So my heart is for you and I will be praying for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any others who would like to share on this question?
Yes. Good evening, y'all. Well, my sister, I can say that I share your pain in a way because I went through a divorce in my life earlier. And all I can tell you, I don't know if you are feeling hurt right now, not only because your marriage is falling apart, but also because you don't have a support. Because at that moment in your life, we feel judgment. We feel sometimes prejudice, the people around us. And it's a tough moment. And to be quite honest, even when you have faith and you believe in God and everything, you're still a human being. You still have feelings and emotions, brokenness. So I have to be like my sister. We have a very strong sisterhood here in Plantation that we embrace our women. We don't judge them. So all I can tell you is really offer you. I know what you're going through and it's not easy. All I can tell you, hang in there, we are here. And if you need us, if you need help, counseling, prayer, we are here for you.
I would say something from a pastoral perspective here. I think it's extremely important in those critical moments for somebody to not stay alone. Because confusion can be so big that you don't even understand what is going on. So you need some people around you to help you, not too many though, but some people that help you sort out what is going on. And there's a risk here, because if you are a religious person, if you belong to a faith community, the pressure can come from a religious angle, you know, and people will quote to you the Bible, telling you that the prophet says God hates divorce, but they fail to tell you that God hates abuse as well. So then you have two things there competing almost, and both of them are a disgrace, right? But in the end, as a human being, you cannot spend the rest of your life in abuse. So something has to change. And I pray that you will have support, and prayer will work in your family, and the situation will change. But there are situations that do not change, and in those cases, the only way out is the way out. So it's tricky, but don't be despair. Don't give up easily, but at the same time, seek help. Yes. Ask for help. People will be placed there by God providentially to come alongside and help you in your trouble.
Amen. I want to praise God for the for you who are here to share and to be present for this mother who is sharing her heart in this moment, and for the message that you shared tonight of prayer, of community, of transparency, and spiritual support. Yeah. Chaplain Chantel, do you have something you'd like to share on it?
Yes, I would like to encourage the person to be strong. Somebody on the panel already mentioned having support. It is very important to have people that you can trust, that you can talk to, people that can support you, that can listen to you, and pray with you. If you are someone who believes in prayer, I'd say seek the Lord, seek God, because he knows your situation and he will intervene. Amen. But you got to trust God. If you're being abused, I mean, there are shelters, they have stuff in communities to help people in those situations, because they know that it happens. But I feel bad for you and for what you're going through, because I know it's not pretty. God did not create you to be, you know, abused in whatever ways. So I say seek a group support. Even if it's not from your church, it could be from another church, because people are aware of these situations, and they welcome you with open arms, and they'll be willing to be there for you. You need that at this time.
Thank you. We have another. Was there somebody else on it? We had another question that came in. This is from a single mother. It's asking, should I even consider getting married or remarried, or should I just focus on raising my children?
Well. If I can say something about that, because I've been through that. So when I had my divorce, I had my daughter was 1 year old. She was little. It was a tough decision for me. So I was a single mother for about 3 years. And I was definitely it was a moment in my life that I really approached the throne of God with all my strength, because now I was like, not just me, I have a daughter. And I didn't want to be single. And I have this fear in a way that, you know, how can I meet someone having a, like a 3-4-year-old girl when I've heard about so many horrible things that can happen? So I came to God and I was praying. I think I never prayed so much in my life, a specific prayer. I was on my knees every day. I pick a time and I was on my knees every day. Actually, this was when I moved here to the United States because I'm from Brazil. And with that also on top of everything, because a new language, a new country, and I need a new life. So I think I actually born again when I came here. I was already a Christian, but I really, so at that moment when I put my life into God's hands and I was praying for wisdom and guidance, because I said, Lord, I don't want to leave by myself. I don't want to be alone, but I don't want another divorce. And I have a daughter, so I need you. I don't know if this worked for everybody, but work for me. I need you to show me and put in my life a good man. A man that have character. So I was telling God what I need, but through that process, God showed me what I needed to change because, yes, I, to be quite honest, I was like, within those, the Holy Spirit was showing me where what I did wrong. So instead I was like focusing what my ex-husband did or whatever, I was really focusing what I need to surrender, you know, not judging anyone, but I had something in me that I needed to surrender that I didn't do before. And I couldn't go back anyway, so I just can only look forward. So what I can tell you, if you feel that you wanna find someone, that you don't want to be single, and if you believe that you still want to have a family, I would say that is possible, because at least for me, I did meet a man that now I'm married for 20 years, and he's a wonderful man. He helped me raise my daughter, and I know for sure that God put him in my life, because one thing I can tell you, when come from God, you have peace. And when I met this man, I said, Lord, it could be the right person. And the first thing I did when I met him and we talk about my life and everything, and he wanted to date me, I put him to the test. I said, we're going to pray together. And he said, okay, I don't mind to pray with you. And then everything started, like, when you put God first, he will show you. Don't lose your hope. You know, now if you don't feel like you need some, because I felt that I need someone with me. Some people don't need, and they, you know, it's fine. But if you feel, don't lose your hope that you still can find a good man in your life to help you to have a family and raise your kid.
Powerful, powerful. I'm hearing the testimony of prayer. I'm hearing the necessity of being open to God's, moving in your life, changing you from who you are to who he would have you to be. I'm hearing also, you know, just being open to his will. So powerful. Any others who would like to share a word to this individual?
From a pastoral perspective again, I see two possible extremes. One is after you've gone through a divorce, you can run the risk of judging everybody by the profile of the person you had to separate yourself from. And that's a mistake. Not everybody is bad, and not everybody is that bad. Okay? If the person is bad indeed, because sometimes when you reevaluate what happened, you will realize that some problems were in my heart.
Yeah.
So that's one extreme. The other extreme is, okay, I'm disappointed of this person, I'm gonna run into the arms of the first come. And that's extremely dangerous again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, balance, prayer, and the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Any others would like to share on that?
Yeah, I support both point of views. I can tell you in that case, pray like you've never prayed before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's serious. Fast and pray. You know, and trust God. Put him to the test there, because he desires, you know, he knows your heart's desire.
Yeah.
And if you desire to do it alone, it's your choice, because, you know, you have two pathways. So you can choose to be independent and to grow your children. Or if you want companion, you know, speak to the master. If he's the one guiding your life, then you should lay out those plans to him and wait on him. As Pastor says, you know, sometimes you cannot allow your emotion to sabotage what God has in store, because sometimes we get very emotional, lonely, and then we make poor decisions. So, you know, we have to be level-headed about this, because this is a life-altering decision that can lead back to the same cycle of what you're coming out of. So,
yeah,
prayer.
Amen. Prayer. That seems to be a repeating theme. Prayer. Yeah. Prayer. Prayer. Captain Chantel, please. Yes.
Also, you are in a vulnerable situation, and you cannot afford to place your children in danger. So you have all that to think about. So don't act desperately.
Uh-huh.
Don't say yes to the first person that comes, but consult with God. Seek his guidance, because you're responsible for your children's safety. You don't want to bring anybody in that's going to abuse them or take advantage of them or mistreat them. And that would be double trouble, double pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, act carefully, seek the Lord through prayer and fasting, because he will show you a way.
Mm.
Thank you, thank you. There are people who pay for quality advice that we are getting here this evening. We're giving away free this evening. thank you each one. We have a hot button question here next. This one is coming from a pregnant young lady, pregnant woman, who is asking, what would you recommend to a pregnant woman that is contemplating abortion?
Keep that baby.
Did she said how far she is?
No.
That's the end of the text.
So that's a hard one again. So we want to be real, because we got to be real. But I can tell you one thing. You might have made a poor decision and got pregnant, but God makes no mistake.
Amen. Yeah.
That child was chosen by God.
Amen.
That's right.
Choose life.
Amen.
I don't know what your situation is, but I can tell you, if you make that decision to go forward with your pregnancy, I can tell you right now that God's going to open doors for you.
Amen. Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you're connected to a local church. We're here. We have resources here.
Yes.
And we can get you connected with resources in our local community. But choose life.
Amen.
Choose life. For God is pro-life. And don't let anybody tell you anything otherwise. God is pro-life. So choose life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I want to reaffirm my sister's word. I got to tell you something, young lady. I don't want to judge you, because me, myself, thought about that one time, you know, long time ago, even before my daughter. And I'm not here to judge anyone again, because let me tell you, I've been in a battle of so many situations that, if it's not for Jesus, you know, only Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, offer you again, like, you know, my sister, Dion, offer our arms here.
Yeah.
And if you need us, we going to be, I would like to, in a way, to help you personally, because my daughter's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. And she thought about that. She mentioned to me. It hurt me, because again, I don't want to judge her. I don't want to judge you, woman, because you're going, I've been in your shoes. And thank God I didn't do it. But all I can tell you is like, I'm pretty sure God have a purpose for this life. And the love that you're gonna experience from becoming a mother, nothing can compare. This child can fulfill your life and your heart like you never imagined. So give it a chance. Give it a chance for this life. Give it a chance for God to show you His mercy through this child. And you know, I don't know what is the reason. It could be maybe you think you don't have the support from your family, from the father of the child, from, for example, maybe you don't have, you can't afford. But you know, it doesn't matter the reason. I'm asking you to give it a chance. And we are here if you need help, okay?
Powerful.
Just a word to those that may have gone through it already. I know from interaction with ladies that have come to the pastor confessing that they live with a burden. And fact is, abortion doesn't unpregnant you.
Yeah.
Right. When somebody does abortion, he or she becomes practically the parent of a dead child.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right? And many mothers with values, because if you don't hold that as a value, then the discussion is a little different. But mothers that hold that value of life and made the mistake or rushed into something may live with this burden for the rest of their lives unless they experience forgiveness. So what I want to say is that God tells in the Bible that if we confess, no matter what, He is ready to forgive and cleanse. So there's hope and I just want to encourage those that have the burden already to run to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we have questions that are coming in, and our time is fast departing from us. I'm gonna still take them in order, but I just wanna remind you, our number 954-388-8780. Another person has asked, another person with a child question. When I gave birth to my first child, my church treated me badly because I was not married. How does God relate to these kinds of things?
Not in plantation.
How does God?
Yeah.
So how I see God is Him having His wonderful arms and folding you and your child. Because I was, when I became a mother, very traditional church back in Jamaica, and I'm not here, but I wasn't able to dedicate my child inside the church. I had to go to the pastor's office because I wasn't a married mother. So.
All right.
So I just want to let you know though, doesn't matter if you had your child out of wedlock, God doesn't condemn you. That's what Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, so if you're a believer, God didn't condemn you when you had that child. A child is precious in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't matter the mechanism. Yeah, we make poor choices and bad mistakes and sometimes we have consequences, but it was wrong of the church to judge you. And I think if we look at the story of Jesus with the woman caught in the act of adultery, that when the accusers brought her, that He said, I don't accuse you. You know, I don't accuse you.
Amen.
Go and sin no more. So, you know, God is such a God that He's not tolerant of sin, but He's so accepting and so loving and will never cast judgment. And I think we learn, you know, so if that church, you know, you felt hurt, what I could advise you to do is to look to Jesus. because he'll never judge you. He'll never guilt trip you. As Pastor said before, that if you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And so he loves you with world without end, and he loves your child world without end. So maybe that's an experience. So I think it's also a teaching moment for every one of us listening here and those listening, that, you know, we are Christ to everyone we meet, whether in church or outside the church, and that we have to love people where they are and never cast judgment, because God didn't judge us, because the Bible said when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if when we were sinners, he died for us, we shouldn't be cast in judgment. So I apologize that yes, that was your experience, yes, you know, and I hope that the love of Jesus will wash away that experience, and that when you see your child and see Jesus and see the church, you know, forgive if you have any resentment towards, yes, those who judged you or who, you know, made you feel like that. Forgive them.
Yeah.
Let it go. And just know that Jesus loves you and he loves your child.
Amen. Agree 100%. I was going to say forgive them and move on. You know, we're gonna have peace when you forgive them.
Amen.
Just for those that may think now, okay, so now what are you advocating here? Everything can just go ahead and no problem. Listen, we advocate for high moral standards, mm-hmm, on mm-hmm, one hand, right? And then we advocate deep healing grace,
yes,
on the other hand. And those two things are not mutually exclusive. They work together in God's beautiful plan.
Yes.
Amen.
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 We actually have a question that came in response to the abortion question. So I'm going to bring that one in before we get too far away from that topic. The question was, and now I've lost it. Okay. I praise God for the response of our audience. They're sending in so many, but I'm trying to keep up. So, all right. What if you were raped? Or you know the child has an abnormality that will make the child's life horrible. Is an abortion an option?
Who asked that question?
It's a hard one. Again, I think we should not judge, but if you kill that child, she probably is going to be the only innocent in the scenario. They're going to die.
Wow. Mm.
It's not, like I said, we have to be very sensitive to the situation, because again, only God can judge your heart. But I had this question to God, and to me, okay, very personal. Again, I'm not judging you, but I asked God this question: what if it's abortion? And the answer was still, he would like to see that life have a chance.
Yep. This aspect, especially one particular detail of it, because the question is pretty broad. Yeah. I think the difficulty comes when you see competition between the life of the baby and the life of the mother.
No, I'm trying to hear.
Because at one point, that's where you get,
yeah,
and that's where an ethical problem comes to the discussion. And yeah, there's a branch of theology called Christian ethics, and then there's bioethics, and there are all kind of very fine discussions that can happen around that question. I wouldn't go into giving a very trenchant, yeah, answer regarding that, but in general, it's the life of the innocent,
yeah,
that has to be protected, right?
All right. Yes, we're getting a number of questions in. I'm gonna go back. Oh yes, Chaplain Chantel, please. Yes, share.
I was gonna say, is that really a solution though? Is killing the baby a solution? Because you have that to live with for the rest of your life. No. It'll haunt you. You know, if you're called to bear that cross, I say bear it with the Lord's help. Hoping and leaning on Jesus, because he will carry you through it. But don't put that crime on your heart, because it will follow you for the rest of your life. You'll never be free.
Some deep questions. Our audience is asking the tough questions, and we're here trying to answer them, but I think we also are recognizing that some of these answers are the best that we have to offer in a fallen and sinful world. One other question we have here is, what can you do as a mother when your child is in trouble and you feel like you don't have power?
You know, let me share this with you. I don't know how old is your child. My daughter is 25 years old, and she battles with anxiety and depression. We battle, because when you have a child suffer with anything, we suffer together.
Mm. Yep.
And since she was teenagers, she started with 13 years old. I mean, I went through so much with her. I had some moments that I saw that she was going to die. And here's the thing, when your child does something wrong, or I raised her coming to church, okay? Going to church thinking you're doing the things right, you know, praying and all of this, and all of a sudden, it's like, to go the opposite direction, don't want anything to do with God, with religion, actually, you know, drugs and sex when she was young and all of this. And I was like, oh my God, what should I do? Because I felt so powerless. So there's nothing that can humble you more than being a mother. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Wow. That can bring you to the feet of Jesus more than being a mother, at least for me, because I had a difficult child, very difficult. It still is. It's not easy. Now she's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant with a boyfriend younger than her, no job. They thought about abortion. So if it's not for Jesus, I don't know if I could be standing here, because truly, I had moments that I felt guilty. You have this guilty trip that the enemy tried to play in your mind. Really be careful with this, because there's nothing you can do when you bring to God and you trust him. You're gonna be a mama, you're gonna give them love, you're gonna pray for them, you're gonna be there for them.
Amen.
But God, if God gave them free will, I asked God, God, can you take the free will from my daughter? He said, no, because I gave it, and I don't, even me don't take the free will. Wow. Said, okay. Honestly, said, okay. And she's still alive and she's pregnant. I'm going to be a grandma. So it's a day by day is all I can tell you.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, right. Don't try to be God, because let God be God and you be a mama.
Yeah.
One other advice
I can tell you, not know if you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, tap into a local church.
All prayer warriors.
I know we at our church here at Plantation, I know we're splintered, but I know these mothers, they're called Moms in Touch International. We used to meet in that mother's room. And I'm telling you, these mothers bruise their knees. I can tell you, with my son going through his teenage years, I have mothers know that I testify how they came alongside me. And even now, we women, Deborah, know we have a prayer line. Mm. And we pray for our children. You know, like we pray for the names of our children. And when our children are in trouble, and sometimes we don't even know what battle we are fighting. Honestly, I think these days the battles, they come in so many different form packages. We don't even know the battle that we're fighting. But one thing I know, the weapon of prayer
Amen.
Breaks everything.
Amen. Yes.
breaks everything. And the enemy I know right now is after our young people. Mm. You know, he's after them when they're in the secular schools. He's after them in different vices. He's after them through the he's just after our children. So I can tell you, get with mothers, because we are fierce, yes, lioness.
Yes.
Like, we are fierce for our children. We're fierce not only for our biological children, but all children.
Mm-hmm.
So you get with a group of women. You can, if you're not, you know, you can call into our church, the number here, get connected with us. We'll mm-hmm. get you plugged in.
Yep.
And we'll fight with you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We need more support groups. More support groups.
Yes.
And you know, I want to remind you, relationship is everything. Try to build healthy, develop healthy relationship with our children so that they be able to talk to us. Keep the communication line open, you know? And then reach out to those support groups, because we need them. Like the sister just said, the devil is after our children. He wants to destroy them. But you need to have a group where you can be comfortable and sit down with and talk to and just express your concerns and be covered with prayers. Because the prayers of the saints avail much.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. My thoughts actually on this one, it goes to the story of Yoshida,
mm-hmm.
Who felt powerless trying to hide her son from the Egyptian authorities and thought that she was giving up her child in the bulrushes of the Nile. But little did she know that God had a plan in that moment. So I would encourage that mother in that moment feeling powerless, that there is a victory,
power.
A deliverance.
Amen.
That God will give.
Amen.
If you just trust and pray.
Amen.
He will bring you through.
Amen.
Our time actually is up, and we have I know we have a number of other questions.
Maybe
that came in.
Maybe we can do that again.
But we'll have to try and touch these offline. But we're going to transition to Chaplain Chantel, so she can be able to have a last word. As we are closing out our time this evening. But thank you, panelists,
yes.
for your participation, for your contributions. But we'll be closing out our panel discussion, and we'll be going to Chaplain Chantel now.
Yes, I want to reach out to those mothers with so many concerns. I want to turn your attention to Isaiah 49, verse 15. The Lord says, "Can a mother forget her suckling child? Can she not have compassion on the child of her womb?" She can. She can forget her child. But God is saying to us, He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's impossible. That is out of the question. Okay? And I want to encourage mothers to, those who would like to read books that would encourage them and to keep the family growing stronger and stronger. There's a writer called Stormy O'Martian. She's a Christian woman. And she wrote so many books. The Power of a Praying Mother, Power of a Praying Woman, Power of a Praying Parent. Just look up that those books and find the one that you would like to keep. That will be a companion for you on this journey called motherhood. And then Promises of the Last Days. That's the little book I find that have been very helpful to me in my walks with God, my worship life, my devotional life. I just, beside the Bible, I bring these little books in and I look at them and I see the encouragement, the encouraging words that I receive to help me stick closer to God. You know, these counsel will strengthen you, they will encourage you, and they will help you to keep walking forward and not backward. And also, mothers, get with the support groups, form prayer groups, because we have to pray. The enemy is roaring like a lion. Especially these days, he knows that his time is short, and he is starting all kinds of turmoil in people's homes. We need the blood of Jesus. We need to cover ourselves, cover our children, cover our friends' children, cover our community. We have to rely on prayer. So let's form those groups. And those who are listening, reach out to those groups. Become a part of it. And let them pour the love of God over you. You won't regret it.
We're not necessarily in our church, but we do have online prayer and Bible study groups that are happening. So if you are hungry for community, for connection right now in this moment, still not working. You're hungry for prayer, for community, for connection, we're going to encourage you to send family 2020 to 954-388-8780. And there it'll give you some options to be able to get in contact with some of our support groups, our prayer group, our Bible study that is happening right here at Plantation right now, online, on the phone, through the internet. At this time, we're going to be closing our time together again. Thank you, Chaplain Chantel, for your words. Thank you, panelists, each one, Dion, Deborah, Pastor Joe, and also all those who sent in your questions to make this evening possible. We want to remind you we're again here tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and we'll have another topic again, another speaker who will be coming to share with us. Before we have a closing prayer, we're going to have our closing song at this time.
So very weak, you say I can be strong. I feel I've gone too far. You tell me to come home. You love me still, and I know this is real, and I am running back to you. I see you're standing there for me. Your arms are open wide, and I don't have to cry no more. You're standing there for me, and I am running back to you. Why do I go away when I know I am no good, when I'm on my own? You told me you could keep me, but I turned it away. I failed you so much now. I don't know what to say, using the same excuse that I am a woman. You tell me you've been there and hold your nail scarred hands so I can see. Now I know I am free and I am running back to you. I see you standing there for me. Your arms are open wide and I don't have to cry no more. You're standing there for me and I am running back to you. Why do I go away when I know I am no good? I have taken advantage of your love and grace. Forgive me, Lord, and take me home. Take me home. I'm running to you, Jesus. Please take me home. You see, I've been in this wrong way too long, and I can't do right anymore. I'm tired of pain and I don't like fear, but Lord, I want to be more sincere. I never should have left your side. Return me to your guiding light. I'm running back to you. I see you standing there for me. Your arms are open wide and I don't have to cry no more. You're standing there for me and I am running back to you. Why do I go away when I know I am no good, when I'm on my own?
What a powerful testimony and song. Thank you, Sister Richardson, for your words in music. As we close this evening, I want to remind you, tomorrow night we start again at 7 p.m., another installment in our series, Jesus at the Center. At this time, let's bow our heads as we close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the mothers, dear Lord, in our lives, for the mothers, dear Lord, that took care of us, for the mothers, dear Lord, who made a choice to allow us, dear Lord, to come into this world. We ask, dear Lord, your help, dear Lord, with all the different questions that came in. We are but infallible human beings. We shared our best, dear Lord, but we ask that your Holy Spirit would come alongside those who truly need to hear a word from you right now. We ask, dear Lord, that you would continue to help us to draw closer to you, to make you, dear Lord, the center of our family, the center of our home, the center of our lives, the center of our heart. Dismiss us now, dear Lord, your blessing. These and many other blessings we ask in the precious and dear name of Jesus. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.